Welcome back to another episode of the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. Alex, just me and you for this one. What's going on?
What is going on? Tyler must be out still celebrating his birthday, I guess.
Yeah, he's old. He just turned 27. Living his best life.
Still the oldest person in this pod. Not good.
Yeah, you're close.
Another week and I'm still 30. The oldest. What do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to really catch up.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see how time works.
Yeah, so for this episode, we're going to finish our rankings of quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. We're going to finish with running backs.
The way too early rankings.
Way too early.
Yes.
So,
trademark.
Yep. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's the Wire. D. Griffin. This the Wire, serving up a hot take. Around the league, serving gems like a hot plate. Who's the flex? First pick, rounds 4-8. Trading with the base, that's Superman, we need a cape. This that fantasy, see who get the glory. Who's gonna stay up in their lane talking Tory? Who gonna ride up on the train with a hype at? Yeah, you wanna start them, but matches, you might not like that. Three tutties next week, man, he's double covered. Takes on 100 coming out the oven. Tim and Todd, they the guys, know you gotta love them. Take your pick, do it quick, they on fire. The Wire.
All right. So, Alex, got a question for you. Two scenarios here.
I don't like it.
So, we've all heard of marry, love, and kill, right?
Of course.
So fantasy football situation here. You can flex one, bench one, trade one, and cut one.
That first word threw me through a loop there. I'm not going to lie.
That's all right. So start, bench, cut, and trade. Gus Edwards, Damian Harris, Devin Singletary, Jeff Wilson. Go.
All right. I don't like this. These four guys are a great group of running backs for this. I'm not a fan. Oh man, I do not like this. All right, I am going to start with cut, and I am cutting Devin Singletary. I do not think he's a good running back. I think they bring in another running back and he becomes the third running back on that team, maybe fourth behind Josh Allen. So he's gone. I am going to bench Jeff Wilson. Yeah, we're going to bench Jeff Wilson because of the upside he has with Mostert. If he goes down again, that seems to be Mostert's thing. I like Jeff Wilson's upside there. I am going to trade Damian Harris to you because you love him and are a Patriots fan. So that one's good. I can get value for him. And then I'm gonna flex Gus Edwards. I really like him in that offense. I think I actually think that he carries a lot with J.K. Dobbins next year. And I think they run the ball 35 times a game and Gus is going to see a ton of work. And I especially like that he's the fourth quarter guy because, you know, you can kind of almost project the game for the Ravens. And if you think they're going to win, Gus is a really great, I think, flex, especially for fourth quarter work ahead of Dobbins. So. All right, I'm going to spin it right back at you. What do you have between Gus, Harris, Singletary, and Wilson? Flex, bench, trade, cut. What do you got?
Cutting Singletary. Hate his talent level. I don't think he's very good compared to, he's an average running back. He's nothing special is my problem. For trade, I'm trading Damian Harris. Reason being, I think he has more value of any of these guys than what he's actually worth.
Yep.
Because, you know, Sony Michel is going to be back and healthy this year, hopefully. Never mind the fact that Damian Harris is going to be back and healthy. You know, he's been the first, 2.5 years hurt.
Sony on a contract
A contract year. Damian has one more year after this.
Yep.
For bench, I'm actually benching Gus Edwards.
Okay.
This is just because I'm in absolute love with Jeff Wilson this year.
You are. You love Jeff.
I love him. I'm drafting him and trading for him in every single one of my leagues because I think he takes over that backfield. Even if Mostert's healthy, I think Jeff Wilson is the perfect running back for that offense.
Yeah, and you can kind of see the parallels between Gus and Jeff, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels with the offense and kind of their role. And I like Jeff Wilson a lot, so I can definitely get behind that. All right, now I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
I also have been, I've come prepared with four players, and you have to flex, bench, trade, cut. It's like we just did this game.
Go for it.
Melvin Gordon, James Conner, Joe Mixon, David Johnson. Go.
I'm cutting DJ.
Ooh, wow.
Yep. So cutting DJ, I am flexing Melvin Gordon, trading Joe Mixon and benching James Conner. Actually, it's tough. These are all the guys that are were really good 2 years ago and suck now. It's close between cutting and benching for James Conner and DJ because I really like DJ. I actually like him more, but his age and his injury history really have me concerned. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't like that one bit. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Go for it. What do you got?
I'm cutting Conner. I think he's Devin Singletary bad. Like I just don't think James Conner is a very good running back, and I don't know who's gonna pick him up to be the starter. It's not the Steelers, and it's not going to be anything that picks him up from free agency. So definitely cutting Conner, limited to no value to me. I am starting Joe Mixon. He's the best player of this group. I believe immensely in the talent. And I think once Joe Burrow is back, I think we're going to see Joe Mixon. And I feel like everybody's been saying this for 3 or 4 years, but I really think Joe Mixon can be a top 12 running back. He has that in him. We just haven't seen it over the course of a season. This next part is really difficult for me, but I am going to bench Melvin Gordon. I think that offense has a lot of mouths to feed. You still have Philip Lindsay there. I just don't think it's a very good offense. And then I'm going to bench DJ.
You're cutting DJ.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You're trading DJ. Trading.
Yeah, I'm trading DJ. He had I think I can convince someone that they need a stable running back. He was great last year. He was so under the radar. He was very consistent, 12 to 15 points a week. And I can trade David Johnson to a championship contender for a second round pick and be happy with that, I think.
So. Yeah, I was trading Mixon because he had the most value out of all of them. Yeah. So let's jump into our rankings for the running backs here. Again, it's been a theme for a lot of these. We have 1 and 2 locked in for all of us. We go Christian McCaffrey and then Dalvin Cook. 1-2. There's nothing really to explain here. We all think CMC bounces back.
Yep.
Hopefully he doesn't get traded for Deshaun Watson. And then Dalvin Cook, the only concern with him is his health, but I think he's going to be all right.
I think he's past that too. That was a few years ago. He's fine. Yeah. With CMC, I mean, of course, if he gets traded, that could affect things. But when he was out there, I mean, when he was healthy, he was scoring 30 points a game. So no concern.
Absolutely. At 3, our consensus was Derrick Henry. I have him at 4. Tyler has him at 4. You have him at 3.
Yep.
My reasoning is, you know, running back 4, running back 3. I just had Barkley there at 3 because I think he bounced back and has a big year next year. There's nothing wrong with being the running back 4. Tyler had Zeke at 3, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But yeah, we have Derrick Henry at 3.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair with Derrick Henry, I know that the tires usually start to wear down on these running backs around 27, 28. This is where they start to collapse. And I'm not saying that Derrick Henry is any different. He is built differently, though. He's a huge running back. You don't see that very often. It seems like at this point, he wants to hit people and people don't want to be hit by Derrick Henry. And really, he didn't start seeing a full workload until 2019. That was his first 300. That was his first 300 carry season. I mean, the first 3 seasons, he saw 110, 176, 215. Now, you know, we've had back-to-back season of 300 carries. I think he has one more season in him where he really stretches stuff. But, I think he's going to be great this year.
Yeah, and that would have been Tyler's point as well. I mean, even in college, he wasn't heavily used. His rookie year, he wasn't heavily used. He didn't get over 200 carries until 2019, like you said, and he had 300. Oh, no, I think he had 250 that year. But yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry, I think he has two good years left. Redraft. I'm probably not drafting him with the third overall pick, but that's just me. I'd go Barkley over him.
Right.
I'd even be tempted with some of these other guys we have coming up a little bit, just based off of, you know, concern with the age. But yep. I think he's going to break the mold of that. At the running back four, we have Saquon Barkley. This is where it starts to really get close. The next four guys are all very, very close. We have Barkley here. I have him at the running back three. I love him. I think he's bounced back. Yeah, like I said, Tyler has him at seven. You have him at six.
Yeah, so I guess I can take the position for me and Tyler. I have injury concerns. And, you know, you hate to say it with a 24-year-old player, a 23, whatever he is. But we've had back-to-back soft tissue injury years. We also have an offense that is not good. And with Daniel Jones at the helm, unless they make some kind of change, it's just not a good offense. It's, you know, injury concern, and there are definitely a handful of other guys that I think I'd rather have at this point. But yeah, I mean, like you said, you love him at three and he could easily be there for us. He could finish the season at three, but it's not where I really want to draft him.
Yeah, fair enough. Next, we have Alvin Kamara. Tyler has him at five. You have him at five as well. I actually have him as the running back seven. My reasoning here is Drew Brees is gone. I don't see any way that he comes back. I think he just retires. They worked his contract so that it's none of it's guaranteed and they can just cut losses and save, what, $24 million in cap space. Now they're only negative $76 million. You know, without Brees, we saw a huge dip in his reception ability, his out of the backfield, and that's really where he strives, right? And and if he's just getting 220 rushes, he's not as effective as he is with 100 targets.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's somebody that we talked about last time, but I would sell high on Kamara. The crazy part is, I think I would still take Kamara, though. I don't know if I take him as high as five, but he's not going to be drafted at five. So if he's, you know, if Drew Brees doesn't come back and he's sitting there at pick number nine, it's going to be hard to pass up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, somebody at that talent level, talent, you kind of let talent fall to you in the draft. And if he's there late, I mean, how can you not take him?
Yeah, I think I got him at the 107 this year and that worked out late, great. Right? I mean, yeah. I ended up in a 10-team league. No, it was a 108. I ended up with Kamara and then came back around and got Devontae Adams.
Did you win that league?
No.
How?
So did you know that my team in the championship week had Myles Gaskin, Devontae Adams, Alvin Kamara, Allen Robinson, Mike Evans?
You're setting me up for a loss, aren't you?
And all of those in the championship week, they put up, I think, 210 points, just those five guys.
That's pretty good.
The reason I didn't win, the week before, they all combined 52 points.
Oh, no.
They all had an average week at the same time.
Yeah.
And I lost by like 5 points, and I won third place. But
well, that's what you get for drafting Kamara and Adams.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I had the running back one and the wide receiver one, and I still lost. Yeah. But that's okay.
It sucks, man.
It does suck, especially with 1 week playoffs. But next we have on the list is Nick Chubb. He's just,
woo!
He's so good.
I am hot and bothered by Nick
Chubb. I have him at five. Tyler has him at six. You have him at seven.
I thought I was the highest on the list on Chubb. I guess not. Yeah, I guess I'm not as hot and bothered. But you tell me why you have him at five.
Because I'm hot and bothered. he's just a perfect running back for that Cleveland offense. He's crazy efficient. He's not the receiver that a lot of these other guys are, even though he will get some receiving work. He does have Hunt behind him, but he is the premier talent to Hunt. And with arguably the best offensive line in football and a team that wants to run the ball almost every down, I mean, how can you turn down Nick Chubb?
Yeah, I totally all aboard. I probably should have Chubb above Barkley and Kamara, but I don't, but that's okay. Maybe by our real ranking season, I will. Last year, Nick Chubb had 12 games and he ran for over 1,000 yards. In 12 games, he had over a thousand. Like, that is unfathomable. Like, that's incredible. Yeah. It it's unreal. And he also added, you know, 16 receptions and 150 yards to that. That he had almost 1,200 yards. He had over 1,200 yards. If I'm doing math correctly. Nope, he had over 1,500 yards. Wow, I am not good at math today. Still, in 12 games, that's unreal. And I think what I love about Nick Chubb even more is Kareem Hunt. And the reason I say that and why that's weird is because Kareem Hunt is this immense talent, but he was given the full workload for like 6 games last year, and he did not impress anybody. So I really think Nick Chubb's going to be, people are going to be afraid a little bit of Kareem Hunt and not draft Nick Chubb in the first round, but I think that's a mistake. I think Nick Chubb is, you're going to get him lower than wherever you draft Nick Chubb is probably too low.
Yeah. And I mean, in 10 of his last 11 games, and the only reason so he ended this season going backwards here. 17, 18, 15, 24, 18, 27, 12, 19. Then the Dallas game where he only played one drive and had 4 points, 24 and 26.
Yeah. If you average that out, I mean, this is going to be, he's going to be a top.
I think he was the running back two from week 10 on. Yeah, I mean, and it's just, yes, they do have to play Pittsburgh twice. Yes, they have to play Baltimore twice.
Don't care.
He's going to run all over Cincinnati twice.
Yep.
And then, you know, every other game, I mean, he's a top five back, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's a top three back as a natural runner.
Yeah.
Love Nick Chubb.
He could be the best running back in the league, honestly. Like, behind CMC, like, I could see a world next year where we're walking into the way too early rankings and we're going, okay, CMC one, Nick Chubb two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think next year at this time, Chubb could be the running back two.
Yep.
He could be the running back one. Realistically, because again, you can't project injuries. We're projecting opportunity, talent, and those are really the team outlook. Those are the three things we're projecting here. We're not projecting injuries. So I'm not sitting here saying Kamara's at seven because he's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. We're not projecting injuries. We're projecting talent, opportunity, and team. So if, you know, let's say Jonathan Taylor, if they bring in another running back, which obviously they're not going to,
yep,
he's going to take a little bit of a hit. Nick Chubb already has Kareem Hunt behind him, and he's shown that he's more efficient and just better than Kareem Hunt.
Yep. I think Kareem Hunt does a really good thing for Chubb's value. And it's, you're going to get him lower than you should because of Kareem Hunt. And I don't think you have anything to be afraid of.
Absolutely. So next on the list, we have Jonathan Taylor.
Speaking of Taylor.
Yes. You have him at 4. Tyler has him at 8. I have him at 6.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a discrepancy between the Taylor truthers like myself and the people who probably have the right goggles on when it comes to Taylor. He was really efficient in the passing game last year. I think he caught 33 of 36 passes or something like that. Which is really good. I don't know if he'll be as efficient or see as many targets, considering Philip Rivers isn't there anymore. But it was, I think the one thing that really stood out to me is obviously Taylor is immense talent. He got better as the season went along. His vision got better. He became a more confident runner as he learned the playbook. But the really exciting thing to me was they were going for a championship last year, this past season. And they turned the offense over to Jonathan Taylor and basically said, Taylor, take the wheel. And it was the Jonathan Taylor show from start to end. He was the guy. He was in there. Hines was getting some work, but it was his running back. It was his offense. And I think that's the exciting part about Taylor.
Yep, absolutely. And I believe in his talent as well. I just, you know, again, I have him between Nick Chubb and Alvin Kamara. So it's not a terrible place to be. Next on the list, we have Ezekiel Elliott. I have him at 9. You have him at 8. Tyler has him at 3. I wish he was here to explain this tape.
Yeah,
I think, in my opinion, what he did was he took the numbers that Ezekiel Elliott had when Dak was there, which were pretty good.
Yep.
And project him over a 16 game season and what Zeke's track record is. And which is okay. And that's why we have him at running back 8 and 9. I just have a hard time putting him above a guy like Derrick Henry, a guy, you know, because it's going to be, it's hard to know what we're worried about with Dak here. And they're going to want to get Tony Pollard involved a little bit more.
Yep.
Especially out of the backfield in the receiving game, which may take some of Zeke's opportunities away. So it's one of those things where he's still a running back one, and I still believe in his talent. I'm not drafting him third overall. There is no way in hell, unless they trade out of Amari Cooper, bring back Dak, all the linemen come back healthy, and they say Zeke is going to be a powerhouse back, which none of that's it's at that point, it's still going to sound like smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. Take that, Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler. Go ahead. Defend yourself.
I don't have him ranked at three. There's a lot more exciting running backs. And maybe that's the problem, right? Is like we are overlooking Zeke because there are exciting players on the board like Barkley and Chubb and Taylor and Cook and all these other guys that are exciting at this point, where it just kind of seems like, oh, hum, Zeke's going to get 1,000 and do his thing. And that's like boring. Like it almost feels like Mike Evans, right? Like just consistently does it. But I think there's something to be said about the offense getting worse last year and Zeke going with it. Cause yeah, I mean, Dak was amazing last year, but now you kind of have the, he's kind of game script dependent. He's kind of team oriented. And, you know, we thought Zeke could be a lone wolf and maybe he's not.
Yeah. I mean, in his defense, that they're returning 3 all pro offensive linemen back to that offensive line and a top 5 quarterback back to that offense. They'll probably spend a good pick on another offensive lineman because they're going to be bringing back Smith, Lyle Collins, Zach Martin. That's 3 all pro offensive linemen right there.
Yeah.
Right. And that weren't there blocking for Zeke in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And then this is why I still have him as a top 10 running back. I don't see a situation where I'm comfortable drafting him at 3. I'm definitely taking Derrick Henry over him. I'm definitely taking Barkley over him, in my opinion. And he's in that category of, you know, Chubb, Taylor, Kamara, Zeke. That's a good a place to be.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, that's what we have on Zeke. Next, we have Cam Akers. So, very interesting. If you look at Cam Akers' numbers in the regular season, granted, he pretty much didn't play until week 12, but he had 100 fantasy points last year. And we have him ranked as the running back 9.
Probably my fault, I would imagine.
Nope, because I have him at 12, Tyler has him at 10, you have him at 9.
Oh,
okay. So my thing with Akers is he's going to be great. He's going to be this year what we expected him to be last year. We expected him to be the starting running back who's going to get a lot of touches. And I think Stafford is going to boost him up even more because he's got a better downfield threat than Jared Goff. And he also dumps the ball off more than Jared Goff.
Yep. I think we talked about it in another episode. I think Swift saw 5 targets a game from Stafford. And I think that's a realistic number for Akers who can do that. I think Akers is the number 2 running back of the last year's class heading into next year. That kind of makes no sense, but basically I have him above CEH. I have him above Swift. I have him above Dobbins. Well,
leave DeAndre Swift alone. I'm a fan.
It's not a talent question with Swift, right? I think Swift is more talented. I think we talked about that last year. I just think opportunity and, you know, team fit and scheme really matter here. And Akers has, aside from Taylor, the best situation of any of the rookie running backs that we saw this year.
I can argue Akers is a better situation than Jonathan Taylor.
You could. Absolutely. Yeah, because exactly.
There's Taylor still has Hines behind him. That's going to get a lot of receiving work. Are you really worried about Malcolm Brown now going forward? Are you really worried about Henderson going forward? No. Taylor is going to lose some passing work to Hines. It's going to happen. Just the same way Gibson lost it to McKissick. And it's rightfully so. Hines is a very good receiving back. And, you know, Taylor had the ankle injury last year that if you traded for him week 8 or week 6 of last year when everybody's like, wow, he's a bust, blah, blah, blah. Twitter exploded saying he was terrible. I'm very curious what people traded for him, but
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. Would you rather have would you rather have Taylor in the first or Akers in the second? And I think I would take Akers in the second. Yeah, I would. I'd rather have an Adams and then run it back with an Akers. You're 100% right. I think there's more value to be had with Akers than there is with Taylor.
And I think so too. I mean, Akers is going to be good. I think he has a fine season. I think he's going to be in that, 9 to 12 range for running backs. And I think that's a good spot to be in for a second year running back.
Agreed.
Next, we actually have my favorite running back in the NFL.
Should I hype him up for you? Do you want jazz music?
Yeah. Actually, I still have it up.
You do?
Yes. Right. I was playing it when you were talking about
Stafford.
Stafford, yeah.
It's all the Lions players we love.
Yeah.
Play the jazz.
So.
Oh, it's not coming through very well.
That's all right. I'll just turn it off. That's all right. I love Swift. I think he's the most talented running back on this class and last year's class. I actually don't hate the fit. I think Adrian Peterson leaves. I think he gets more early down work. I'm not worried about Kerryon taking anything away from him. He's a dynamic receiver out of the backfield. He's electric with the ball when he's running the ball in between the tackles. I'm not worried about DeAndre Swift at all. I actually have him ranked as the running back 8.
Yeah, I think that's a fine spot for him. He's going to see all the volume in the world. The coordinators and new head coach, I forgot their names, but they've already come out and said that they're going to feed DeAndre Swift. And I think they used Austin Eckler, or I believe it was the Austin Eckler comp. And I think he's going to get a lot of work. I think it's going to be great. I think he's going to be inefficient. And I think that's kind of why I don't have him in my top 12. I think he's going to see top 12 work. But assuming everybody stays healthy, I don't think he finishes there. Just because I worry about efficiency between a downgraded quarterback, a offensive line that isn't so good, a new coaching staff.
A better coaching staff.
It might be better. Maybe. Could very well be better. Could very well be worse. And a lot of question marks with Swift, and that's kind of why he falls out of my top 12. Top 12 talent, I agree with you there. But just situation doesn't really make sense for efficiency.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is my fanboy kicking in, because I do think he's a top 5 talent as far as running back. Yeah.
Wow.
Talent wise, what doesn't he do well? Nothing.
Yeah,
he's pretty good in pass protection. He's good in between the tackles. He's a dynamic receiver. He's fast. He's not small. So
you know what he doesn't do well? He got drafted by Detroit.
Yes. But I think that's something where it's going to be a little bit overblown. And I think a year from now, we're going to be sitting here saying DeAndre Swift is what? He's a dynamic player, and he's going to be one of those guys where he's going to be in the top 5, 6, 7 running backs next year.
Yep. He feels a little like Kamara-ish to me. I don't think he's as elite as Kamara, but I think he's in the same mold.
Yeah. So next we go Austin Eckler. I have him at 10. Tyler has him at 12. You, for some reason, don't have him on there at all. Explain.
Yeah. So I think the Chargers, and again, early season, but the Chargers seem to do everything they could to not give Austin Eckler carries last year. And maybe that'll change with the new coaching staff, right? He is going to see the volume in the passing game. I just question if he's going to be able to do enough on the ground to really break into this top 12. I like Eckler. He'd probably be 13 or 14 on my list for sure. But yeah, I think that it seems like they tried to do everything to replace Eckler last year with drafting a running back and, getting Justin Jackson some carries and then bringing in Ballage and keeping him when Eckler was around. It was kind of, it just seems like they don't trust Eckler in the running game as much as they just want him to be a receiver.
Right. So with Eckler, he had just under 12 rushes a game, and that's with, missing half of a game with an injury. He had 6.5 targets per game, 5.5 catches per game, 40 yards receiving, 53 yards rushing. His big concern was obviously he got injured, and then the other thing was that he didn't get in the end zone the way he did the season before with Rivers.
Yeah.
Herbert was great for Eckler at the same time as he hurt Eckler, because, you know, instead of a lot of dink and dunk down the field with Phillip Rivers, there was a lot of chunk plays from Herbert, whether it was to Guyton or it was to Keenan Allen or it was to Mike Williams. I felt like, you know, once a drive, they had a 30-yard play. I don't remember that as much with Phillip Rivers, you know, and he wasn't throwing the ball 40, 50 yards down the field to Mike Williams. I'm sorry. So, you know, I'm okay with having him. If you project that out over an entire season, you're pretty happy with it, right? So, yeah,
you are.
You know, you're getting about 275, 280 fantasy points in the season. I'm okay with getting that, especially probably in the early second round in most drafts.
I think you get him later than that. I think you can get him late second round, maybe even early third, depending on your league. So, yeah, I think the value is certainly there with Eckler. I just, you know, I think he could be a top 12 back for sure with the volume. Just interesting how it'll pan out.
Yeah. Last on the list, we have Aaron Jones. So this came with a little bit of controversy. We had a four-way tie. Alex, it was actually very close between five guys, actually. We were fractional points from Aaron Jones to David Montgomery to Miles Sanders to Josh Jacobs to Antonio Gibson. They're all within half of a point of each other. Jones, I think, is going to be a running back one, whether he's in Buffalo, whether he's in Green Bay, whether he's in anywhere that he goes. All right. So projecting him out, it's pretty easy to say. Anybody who needs a running back, he's going there and getting a full workload. He's going to put up good numbers, right? Yep. Is it going to be as efficient with Aaron Rodgers? Probably not. I mean, his reception touchdown numbers are probably going to go down. But, you know, he won the fractional debate. I personally would have David Montgomery here, but that's just me. We also have Miles Sanders, Jacobs, and Gibson. I know you're really high on Gibson.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs. Funny enough, I have Jones above Gibson. So, so maybe I shouldn't boo this list considering it's my fault. No, I think that, like...
It is your fault, by the way.
Yeah, probably. It is really hard to slot in Aaron Jones anywhere in this list because he could easily be as high as, like, six. Like, I really think he's a top six back.
And that's why I have him at 11 because,
yeah,
you know, the uncertainty has him in that, you know, 9, 10, 11 range, but his ceiling is running back three, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And I think no matter where he goes, it's going to be a stud. I love the value of Jones. If I could start, you know, if I could start a draft with a receiver and then, you know, get Jones in the late second or early third, I jump at that opportunity. So, you know, it's not that I don't like Jones. I think from a talent perspective, you said it exactly right. It's just going to be where he lands, and I just don't see a situation where he lands in a bad spot. Like, unless he goes behind Chubb and Kareem Hunt, I don't see it.
It won't happen. You know, we're probably looking at, you know, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, one of those type teams where, you know.
That's interesting. Go ahead.
You know, it's going to be interesting. You know, it's tough to project him because I don't see him returning to Green Bay. I see them, like I said in the last episode, or it might have been earlier in this episode, I see them letting Jones walk. I see them giving the reins over to A.J. Dillon. They're going to bring back Jonathan Williams, and they're going to sign James White as a free agent to give them the receiving option out of the backfield, a little dynamic running back. And I think James White will fit very well in to counter what A.J. Dillon doesn't do well. And A.J. Dillon will do well countering what James White doesn't do well. Yep. And then Jonathan Williams is the guy that comes in and can do either or. He can run in between the tackles. He can
Jamal Williams.
I'm sorry.
He's a free agent. They already said he's not bringing
back. But I said I think he comes back.
Oh, okay.
I think they re-sign him, and I think he's going to be their, you know, Swiss Army knife running back when they have the receiving back, the power back, and then he's going to be that third guy, and they're going to have a very good running back room there.
Tim is his own source of the Green Bay Packers.
I don't have a source. I just that's my projection. I think it works well, and I think it. White's going to be cheap enough where Green Bay doesn't really lose a lot of cap space, and it why not, right?
Per source.
Per my sources. So that's it for the running backs 1 through 12. We had our our extra guys, 13, 14, 15, and 16.
You have a couple honorable mentions in there? What do you got? Yeah, who do you want?
Well, I have Monty. I mean, David Montgomery, I actually had him at 13. You had him at 10. Tyler didn't have him on his top 12. He's running back 4 on the year. You can't ignore it. Yes, Cohen's coming back, but he's still going to get a good amount of volume, right? He's not going to lose a lot of early down work to Tariq Cohen. The issue is he's going to lose a lot of receiving work.
Yeah, I can see that. It is crazy to me that you guys don't have Montgomery in the top 12, but that's okay. No worries. We will get there. I'll get you there through the offseason. I'm actually not a Montgomery truther. I don't think he's all that amazing, but I think that they do a good job of getting the ball and drawing up plays for him. I'd say my honorable mention, well, obviously Gibson. We didn't get him on the list, but that's okay. Miles Sanders, he would have probably been 13 for me. He seems like a really great buy low candidate. And somebody that I want to draft, even though he burned me all year. I hated watching Miles Sanders because Doug Peterson did not know how to get Sanders the ball, and that drove me nuts. He had no idea what to do with Miles Sanders. It was so awful watching Doug Peterson try to run an offense. It was abysmal. But I really like Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders combo. I think that's going to be a lot of 100-yard rushing days for Miles Sanders. I do think he goes over 1,000 next year, and I think they need him too.
I have him more in the 15-16 range. Mm-hmm. My issue with Sanders is even though he's a dynamic receiving back, a rushing quarterback typically takes away the receiving work of a running back, right? So a play breaks down for Tom Brady. What has he done for the last 10 years before he went to Tampa Bay? He threw it to James White right in the flats, right?
Yep.
Right. That's what happened. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Throw it to Aaron Jones. Same thing with, you know, a lot of these pocket quarterbacks. Now, has Watson ever had a receiving threat out of the backfield?
I think David Johnson put up a fine season receiving.
Probably a bad one there, but, you know, Lamar Jackson, Ryan Tannehill, these rushing quarterbacks, what happens is the play breaks down. First option's not there. Second option's not there. Their internal clock kicks in. And what happens is it says, all right, play broke down. If I sin here for another 1-2 seconds, I'm going to get sacked. Or somebody's going to slap the ball out of my hands. And they take off and run. And they get 6, 7, 8 yards. That's 1.6 points in a PPR league that gets taken away from your running back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
I agree. I think the passing
work. What was Miles Sanders' receiving work with Jalen Hurts as a quarterback?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'd have to pull it up.
I'm pulling it up right now while you talk.
Go ahead and go to the Google machine with that one. No, I completely agree with you. And that's why I think that although rushing quarterbacks do take away the ceiling of a receiving back's work, rushing quarterbacks also open up lanes for their runners. And that's kind of why I was on the, you know, that's why I think it's okay to have him this low, is because in PPR leagues, you're not going to return the PPR value. But I do think he goes over 200 carries, and I think he goes over 1,000 yards. And I think you're going to be really happy with the consistent work that he's getting week in and week out. I really think he's going to be a 15 to 18 touch guy, but I think he's, you know, I would rather have Miles Sanders at 15 to 18 touches than Josh Jacobs at 20 to 22 touches.
Yeah, so he had less than 3 targets a game with Jalen Hurts as a quarterback.
But he didn't have many targets. But this is the thing, is like, I will buy into your script of running quarterbacks don't throw to running backs. But I genuinely, like, even if you look with Carson Wentz, there are a lot of games where he did not see very many targets, and that was Doug Peterson. He just doesn't know how to draw up passing plays for his running backs.
In 6 games that he played with Carson Wentz as his quarterback, he had 8, 16, 23, 33 targets.
How many games?
In 6 games. So he's getting close to 6 targets a game. He went 7, 8, 4, 4, 5, 5.
With Hurts, when you watched it didn't feel like that, but yeah.
With Hurts, he went 3, 1, 5, 2, 6.
Yeah, and like I said, you're going to see that dip in passing work. But even 36, like for Miles Sanders' skill set, do you think 36 is the right amount for what he can do?
But, you know, then, and that's with a more pocket quarterback. That's my concern.
Yeah.
My concern there is you're banking on him breaking a big run or breaking a 30-yard run once or twice a game in order for him to be really fantasy relevant, because one, their offensive line sucks. Two, he's not going to be, he doesn't have, you know, with Goff, Goff's going to be checking down to Swift a lot more than Jalen Hurts is going to be checking down to Miles Sanders.
Yeah, no, I'm not drafting Sanders over Swift, that's for sure.
Right, but, you know, even a guy like Antonio Gibson, right? We have him, you have him neck and neck. I like Gibson's going to get more targets, probably about the same rushes.
We don't know who their quarterback's going to be.
It doesn't matter. I mean, they had four or five quarterbacks last year. They all sucked. So, yeah. I mean, whether it's Kyle Allen, Alex Smith, Dwayne Haskins, or Taylor Heineke, I mean, he produced with all of them. So it doesn't matter who his quarterback is. They know how to get him the ball in space.
Yeah, it's true. I like Gibson more. I have to admit to
you, and this is something that you're going to want to hear.
I cannot wait. Let me say, hold on. Let me get all comfortable and take a deep breath. Okay, what do you got for me?
I have come full circle on Antonio Gibson.
Let's go.
Do I agree with your take that he's going to be a top 10 back? No, but he's going to be in that 12 to 15 range for a long time.
I said running back one.
Yeah, that's, and I have him, I always said he was going to be a running back two. And remember, this was preseason, or like week two that you said this. But yeah, I mean, he is a better running back than I expected. And
he's a beast.
He's a very good receiver. My concern is McKissick's still there to take a lot of his receiving work away.
Oh.
And McKissick is going to be on the field getting receiving work. We all admit that. Whether he's at a wide receiver position or running back, he is going to.
Hold on. Is he on a contract still?
Yes. I think he has one more year.
When was the 3 year? Hold on. In 2 years. I don't know. I'll still work it up. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, he's got one more year.
Yes. Damn it. So, you know, that's my only concern with him. But that's all I have on the running backs going into next year in our way too early rankings. Do you have anything else on the running backs?
How many Ys in that way?
Four.
Nice. Yeah, I think you nailed it.
It's going to be down to like two in a couple weeks, but
yeah, that's how we judge the offseason, is how way are we? And yeah. Once you get to rankings, it's serious.
Oh yeah. Or just early rankings. Then it's like, okay, now I really got to start paying attention.
Yeah. Early rankings is like after the All-Star break, right? For baseball. I think that's kind of where we get an early ranking.
I don't really care where it comes to baseball. It's right after the NFL draft.
That hurts my
feelings. That's all that matters to me. Nobody cares about baseball. This is America.
What? Oh, bad take. All right. That's it for me. I don't have anything else in the running back.
Let's end on how bad baseball is. All right, guys. I appreciate the listen. As always, check us out on social media, The Wire FFB. You'll find Alex, if you can say your Twitter handle as well.
Wire FFB. Just follow that one. We're good.
Perfect. There we go. All right. So that's it. That's all we got. We'll see you at the next episode. Tyler will hopefully be back.
From his birthday,
he might still be hungover. I'm not sure, but we'll go from there. Thanks, man.
See ya.